All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It is Tuesday, which means Way Back Wednesday is less than a day away. Nick is here, I'm here, Barry's here, we're all present and accounted for, and ready to go with another show. There's lights on us, cameras, I don't know if we're on, I don't know what the hell's going on.
I have bad news, but this thing is about to break.
I got hardware coming off of my mic stand.
No, like, this thing is bent.
Yeah, you have the worst luck when it comes
down to
this
is going
to
break, and AD's going to be pissed. I'm taking a picture of it right now.
Send it to him.
Because, yeah, I'm going to get in so much trouble. Not getting me in trouble. Not happening.
Trubby, that's a first for me.
Yeah, me too. Damn right. That would be a first for both of us.
Well, grown men aren't supposed to say trubby, but whatever.
No, you're labeling yourself.
What, that I'm a grown man?
That you're not.
I am.
You use trubby.
I'm saying I'm not supposed to say it.
But you did.
He's going to be pissed. What up, H-Town? Live. Are we hot on the stream?
Asked.
Because the light is on. Why is the light on if we're not streaming? I want people to be able to see this sexy V-neck I'm rocking.
I just said that. That's what I was trying to figure out.
What, my sexy V-neck?
No.
How sexy my V-neck is?
I'm talking about the lights and the cameras and are we on or not? I don't know what's going on.
I mean, there's nothing that no one told me or informed me. I didn't get an email or
that
anything.
That should not shock you.
This looks like a casting couch room, really. You've got two cameras. You've got lights. You've got a black leather sofa. At any moment, I feel like Joel is going to be like, well, just take your clothes off and let's see what we're working with.
That's not going to happen. I can assure you of that.
Just turn around
now,
and bend over.
Now, Trey is in the other room. What? That is a possibility.
Trey, you want to do a casting couch with
Trey? No, he's
going
to come in and go, hey, Barry, I was just wondering if you could remove that V-neck. It's really nice and everything, but I'd really like to see what you look like underneath. I need some pictures for a casting call.
I could see that.
I could see it too.
Trey would be a creepy casting call director. That wouldn't surprise me one bit.
So how in the world did you not watch the game last night?
So I met a friend in town from Minnesota. She was the manager of the club where I started at the Joke Joint.
Okay.
And so she kind of gave me my start in comedy. She moved back to Minnesota. She was back in town. So I met her and we, you know, had dinner and hung out for like 3.5 hours. And then by the time I got home, I watched the Astros. I didn't finish watching. I listened to the first half.
But that's what I was talking about. Home. The Astros. The biggest thing was this banner.
Yeah, what happened? Because I missed it.
Struggle.
Ridiculous. But it's like Houston. So Houston. Just absolutely so Houston. So, you know, the field presentation is beautiful. They've got like the big banner over the infield that says world champions. Both teams on each baseline. And they go to do the big unveil of the little gold pennant attached to the foul pole, which I can't stand. And the cover won't come off.
I did see something about that.
There's a dude that scales the pole, and he's trying to tug at it.
Oh, no.
There's another dude with a leaf blower who's trying to blow it off the pennant. And then, out of nowhere, there's like some MacGyver that's got one of those branch cutters with like a knife on the end of a pole. And he's just hacking away, trying to free it up. And finally, after way too long and the players laughing, the thing gets kind of air underneath it and they get it off.
Oh, no. Now Houston's the laughingstock of baseball.
Oh, yeah. It was on SportsCenter. It was
because
all over the place.
Banner fail.
But is it not typical Houston?
I mean, that's about right.
Yeah, it kind of is. But what are you going to do? I mean, it happened and they're going to get made fun of for a while. But at least the banner's up.
But you do dress rehearsal.
It's ugly, too, though.
I hate it.
And it's small.
It's gold.
You and I talked about it. There should be a bigger banner.
It's gold, and it's just ugly. I don't know.
You know where the retired numbers are? There should be a big... It should be up there or somewhere where it's very visible, but it's very much permanent. We talked about what the Rockets did with their banners. This little gold pennant You know, the Ranger fans were making fun of it on social media, and everybody was taking their jabs at it.
Well, you know what, Ranger fan? When you get a when you get your own World Series banner, then you can make fun of it. Until then, you should just sit there and shut up.
Or as we would say on this show, suck it.
Losers. Yeah.
Yeah, suck it, losers. You got to the World Series, and last time I checked, you didn't do so well.
Yeah.
It didn't work out for you. But here's the other thing. You knew you were the world champions. You knew this day was coming. You could practice everything from the guys going out to the baselines to pulling the freaking banner cover over the infield. How do you not practice that to either go, you know, that material's a little sticky and that pennant's got a little tip to it that might catch the sheet, or do a breakaway and do some dry runs, but instead you just give it a go and you look like that on national TV and all of the, by the way, ESPN ran it over and over again.
That's when I, well, actually I saw it on the broadcast because I got home, turned the game on, and I heard Blummer talking about it, and they had a great idea, which was they should have hooked it to the train and made the train drag it off.
That is a great idea.
Why wouldn't you do that to begin with?
It's a great idea.
You could have the little horn and the woo, woo, and then the little orange guy and what's his name? Buddy McGirt. What's his name?
I can't think of it, but I know he was tweeting last night about his 18th opening day.
Yeah. Big guy in the overalls that drives the train. Yep. How's that look on a resume? So what'd you do at your previous job? I drove a train 30 feet.
I wouldn't say how far. I just
forward and back. What?
I piloted a train is what I would say.
I was a conductor.
Or that.
With the ceremony, though, the ring ceremony today at 6:30, hopefully no malfunctions, right?
Well, I mean, how difficult can that be? Although I asked the question already loaded by going, well, if the banner was hard, someone's going to screw something up with the rings, too. But here's the thing. Like, getting back to what I was saying about a dress rehearsal. Look, I was a prepubescent teen when the Bucks retired Bob Lanier's number. And I get the job of being the guy that has to do that to unveil the number 16 for a full house.
You had to pull it down?
So there was a ripcord-like thing.
Yeah.
And I had to go up there, and it was up by the right. You know, you go up by the top section of the rafters, right. And you got to pull it down, and then it. And believe me, and everybody's putting it. Hey, what happens if it doesn't, kid? What happens if it doesn't come down?
I'm like, well, that ain't my fault. I didn't
kids don't have
up.
A lot of stress in their lives. Yeah, I'm sitting there like freaking out. Like, can I? Even if I called in for sick for school, I was doing this.
Right.
So I know that they had dress rehearsals, but until someone else was pulling the ripcord until it was my turn. And they didn't tell me that. So I'm like ready to crap my pants up there going, oh, please come down. Please come down. And, you know, you pull it and thankfully it came down. But you had to do some kind of practice once or twice just to see if there were any kind of snafus that could happen.
You would think there'd be a dry run, but I don't know. I mean, it's probably a pain in the ass to get that up there and cover it. And then you'd have somebody in there with their cell phone and then they would see it. And now it's been leaked. Like the Titans uniforms. Did you see that stupid story?
No, the Jaguars.
No, the Titans uniform. There was a story out where they were going to unveil it pretty soon and they're pissed because they were shipped to stores and somebody took a picture of it. It looks the same. It's navy. It's ugly. Like, who cares? This wasn't some big reveal where, you know, it's got, like, wolves on it or anything. It's just a navy uniform.
Well, that's what...
Anyways, I digress. It probably would have shown the banner ahead of time, and they were worried about that.
You're probably right. But by the way, 500 Crawford, one of the residents who had the apartment right, like, in camera level behind the banner, on his balcony had Atlanta 28, New England 3. On a balcony
banner.
That's
awesome.
I mean, there were people. There was another guy just writing every shot with his phone, just shooting it from the other side, just for his own benefit.
That is awesome.
Not realizing he was on TV. But that's one of the things, again, you could have taken into consideration had you done a dry run and looked at the camera angles and gone, oh, we might want to tell the residents and maybe the apartment complex can help us out. We don't need people putting things up on their balconies and such. But that happened too. Thankfully, what happened during the game was all a positive, and the guys laughed it off in terms of the banner and got down to business again.
Boy,
and put a whooping on the Orioles. So we can talk about that. That was fantastic.
You know, I said yesterday the Orioles' big issue last year was their rotation.
Yep.
Now, granted, you're facing their number five starter.
Yep.
But pitching seems to be an issue for the Orioles again already.
And you wonder if the owner isn't going to this time not put the brakes on any trades for any of their top players.
I'm pretty sure it's probably rebuild time for the
That's
Orioles. Machado's gone. I mean, yeah, they're going to. So far, they've had three games against the Twins. They won the first game 3-2, then lost 6-2, 7-0.
Yeah,
and now they lost to the Astros 6-1. That's a.
Britain is going to be highly sought after.
Yeah,
O'Day is a guy that, as a situational guy, that will have some value. You mentioned Machado because he's not coming back probably. So yeah, hopefully they're in rebuild mode. But now you get Verlander on the hill and the reset of the look one time through. And I'll give you the stats in a minute. But one time through this rotation, nothing short of exactly what we expected from them: a 1.78 earned run average, 36 strikeouts, 9 walks, 30 1/3 innings. Pretty damn impressive.
Not too shabby. Colin McHugh giving up the.
Yeah.
Jimmy Jack last night wasn't a good
on the first
thing,
pitch.
Yeah, Nick tweeted that right off the first pitch, and you're like, and maybe that's why you're not in the rotation right now.
No, that has nothing to do with it.
He's not in the, I don't know.
He's not in the rotation because there's five other guys that are better.
Yeah, no. I don't see my other guys in the five giving up a Jimmy Jack on the first pitch.
Yeah, you did.
Garrett Cole's close.
Yeah, I was going to say, Garrett Cole gave up a Jimmy Jack. So
not the first pitch.
Listen, Colin McHugh is going to be just fine. Trust me. So is Brad.
In a Twins uniform?
No. Okay. Now, he will be trade bait for sure. They need him to pitch good. He'll be trade bait this year. But remember, Brad Peacock had the opportunity to work out of the bullpen last year. Colin McHugh is going to have to adjust to this new role. It's warming up is different. Getting ready is different. Game prep before and after is completely different. He'll be fine. He's a good pitcher.
Okay, Coach. I'll keep you to your word on that.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on with the show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Doors always open. You can always get in. You can take our HR&P listener line, text that line, or you can call us directly, and we'll reach out and respond. Also, we are available via Twitter, where it's at @theproducernick, at @PacManJoel with a K, and at @BarryIsFunny, as we will continue to be interactive throughout the three-hour extravaganza. Before we go any further, though, I do want to tell you about my friends at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff, locally owned and operated company, they are fantastic. They have saved me hundreds off of my electricity bills since I signed up with them. And it is a no-nonsense, honest, and trustworthy experience when you deal with them and their people. That means you don't get an automated system and get frustrated and keep pushing buttons and hoping to get a human being. You get someone who right off the jump is going to start asking you questions so they can try and formulate a plan for you that maximizes when you use energy the most and also minimizes it when you use it the least to get you the best rate and the best prices on a monthly basis. They're not going to jerk you around. They're going to be 100% honest. Sometimes they're going to tell you that there's another company out there that can get you a cheaper rate. That's what they do. They're a trusted friend you can always depend on. You can expect honesty at all times without exception, and they're going to make it clearly easy to dissect and clear for you, the user. Call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or log on to infuseenergy.com. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, and of course, right off the top, you get a $25 bill credit, and they go from there. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Segment number two for the three-hour extravaganza we call The Big Show, or at least I do. It's The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, it's ESPN 97.5. Talked a little Astros before the break, but overall, obviously, a lot to be happy about as this team is not disappointing. Right from the get-go, they have jumped out of the gates and done well. Keuchel, the only guy that did not get a win in the first go-round of the rotation, and now we start over with Verlander tonight. So hopefully that will continue during the ring ceremony. The other thing was the national championship game, before we get into too much more baseball. But I'll tell you what, wasn't much of a compelling down-to-the-last-shot kind of thing. But Villanova, as we talked about yesterday, and I said, it was like men amongst boys. The team is just, it's like the Astros in baseball. You look at it and you're like, where's the weakness? Because overall, from a defensive perspective, they don't get any credit because they score so many points. But they are all over on the perimeter. They have some size when they need to. But DiVincenzo, it's like off the bench for 31.
Yeah.
When right off the jump ball, Brunson gets the first two buckets, and you're like, oh, it's going to be that day where the National Player of the Year takes over. But this kid, and he did it on both ends too, dunking in people's faces, threes from 30-some feet out. That was a well-oiled machine doing what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, I didn't get to check out the second half, but I was driving home listening to the game on the radio, and in the first half, you could tell he was already taking over. I think he had 19 at one point in the first half already.
Yep.
And he was hitting big threes, and this was about the time they started to come back and went on like an 8-0 run and went from being down 5 to up 3 or up 4, whatever it was when they had the run. And you could kind of feel the momentum shifting at that time. Now, I didn't get to watch the second half, but you kind of felt like Michigan was going to be able to hang in for a little while. But the thing that Villanova has always been is they're a streaky team, even in game, right? Like, they'll go on a run, and if you can't stop that run, or you're going to get down, and you're probably not going to be able to come back against that team.
Right, because
so
normally a streaky team means when you go on a bad streak, you can go down 10 points and you got to really dig out of a hole. Their streaks are,
yes,
we'll hang with you, but when we decide to flip that switch for a streak,
go
flip the hell out.
Yeah, when we go on a 9-0 run. And a 9-0 run in college basketball is a lot, because let's be real. The scoring in college basketball is atrocious, and I've pointed that out several times. But, yeah, to see them go on an 8-0, 9-0 run, that's almost insurmountable when you get to this level, when you get to the national championship game, and two teams that play as well as they do. It's going to be difficult to come back from that if you're Michigan, because Michigan just doesn't have a lot of firepower either.
No, AJ had it right, and I give AJ full credit because he's the first guy I heard say it, and he was absolutely spot on, and that is Michigan's not a team that can play from behind when you're down 10 or more, because aside from Mo Wagner, you are hoping and praying that at least one to two other guys find a way to step up, and step up big in some cases, to make shots. And when you get guys that aren't knocking down the shots, and Rockman was decent, but overall their guards had a tough time knocking down shots that they normally make, and you need all hands on deck if you're going to play a team like Villanova, because like I said, number one scoring team in the nation, but defensively a top five team, and then with their depth of how many guys they can run out there when they need to, they beat every team in the tournament that they played by a minimum of 12 points.
I heard something that said, because the spread was 7, I figured they'd win by 15. They won by 17. Mm-hmm. And AJ said if they covered, they covered throughout the tournament, which is pretty crazy. Doesn't happen very often, apparently. But driving home listening to the Blitz, that was one of the things he mentioned, is Villanova is one of those teams that rarely it happens, but they would have covered in every game that they played in the tournament. So
they won every game by 12 or more. Their average margin of victory was 17.7. which is only topped by the 2009 Carolina Tar Heels, who won, their average margin of victory was 20. But 17.7 was their average margin of victory, won every game by double figures. It's the most dominant Final Four in 50 years. First team since UCLA in 68 to win both Final Four games by 16+. And they were undefeated, as you said, against the spread.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Two in the last 3 years. Where Jay Wright's got to start getting the kind of nods that the Tom Izzos of the world. No one's going to top Krzyzewski unless you have longevity. But when you start talking about guys like Bill Self and Tom Izzo and guys that have won it before, you talk about a guy that's got multiples in the last 3 years and a guy that looks like they're not slowing down anytime soon. When you look at his numbers, you got to tip your cap and say, this is one of the new legendary coaches. If I give you these numbers, in 2005, it was the first time Jay Wright took a team to the tournament. After he was in his fifth year at Villanova, they've only missed the tournament one time since. And over that time, 6 Sweet 16s, 3 Final Fours, and 2 titles.
It's pretty good.
It's a pretty damn good run.
Not too shabby.
When you look at what U of H has fought through just to get back and win a game,
right?
And then you look at 15 of the last 16 years or whatever it is, or 12 of the last 13 years, he's made an appearance in the tournament. He's had 6 Sweet 16s, 3 Final Fours, and 2 titles. Yeah, I'd say that's up there.
Yeah, you've got to start putting him up there. It's because it's different if you appear out of nowhere, you make a run, you maybe win a title or two, and then you just disappear. But over 15 years to have that kind of track record, Yeah, it's time to start putting him in that conversation as the elite.
Here's what I don't like. Now you got people saying he should be the next coach of the Sixers.
Oh, no.
One, Brett Brown ain't bad. He's had to deal with the process and trusting it. And two, Jay Wright's just fine where he is. And with the recruits he's got coming in, you could set up a Duke-like dynasty of players that are going to want to play for you. You don't have to recruit as hard because they want to come your way.
Right.
You should stay right where you are.
Yep.
All right, so we'll continue to roll on just a half an hour into the three-hour extravaganza. Plenty more to get to. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P Lister line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. We'll be back with a whole lot more. But right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I tell you about them all the time because, again, it's something I believe in. I like to speak for situations that I personally have had positive experiences with, and Gallery is nothing short of excellent. I have most all my furniture in our house from Gallery Furniture, because ever since I got to Houston, I saw the commercials. I had to see what it was all about, and I found out Mac is a Houstonian that has been here a long time that wants to do business with you again and again. And so by the way he does that is he sets it up so that you trust him, what he says they do, and they give you long-lasting, top-quality, American-made furniture at a reasonable price. Their customer service goes through the roof, and they take care of you so you come back. Everybody used to say, I love Gallery Furniture, but I-45 North, it's kind of out of the way. Well, now you got three locations. You got Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. You got the Galleria right there at Post Oak, and you've got the mainstay at I-45 North. But other than that, their customer service is beyond excellent. They're going to make sure that they take care of you with their finance department to set up the easiest payment plans if that's the way you choose. They're going to make sure their delivery people are moving furniture out of the way, shifting and adjusting furniture to get the new in, and if you want, take the old away. It's just part of the way they do business so that you stay a Gallery Furniture customer. Their deals are impeccable, and what they say is what they're going to do. That means you buy today, you get it tonight. That's not just some catchy phrase. That's what they're going to do. There's no back order slips. If you see it and you want to buy it, you're going to get it. You're not going to have to wait like in many of the other stores that you do business with for furniture. And all the time, like Stickley, you're going to get solid wood American-made furniture, leather and upholstered, top-notch, going to last, and it's going to be another reason why you want to come back again and again. The Astros deal is on the table again, too. If you buy a Tempur-Pedic bedroom set, spend $3,000 or more, the Astros win it all, you get it all. Those are the kind of deals Mac does as well. Check them out at one of the three locations. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by, and believe me when I tell you, Gallery really will save you money.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just hate you.
I know. Say, speak for yourself. Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on you, a Joel. Tuesday. Well, that's also par for the course.
All right, maybe I was talking to Nick. It could be.
It's fine. I can decipher, but you can change it if you'd like.
The listeners can't.
Yeah, that's true.
But we appreciate our listeners, and you guys are the suspects that we talk about with The Usual Suspects. Great being out at 500 Crawford yesterday where tons of people were coming by. I said to Barry during a break, awesome that these people know us by name, are remembering some of the things we've said throughout shows from the time we got this thing started all the way through, and that's when you can tell that they're really usual suspects. And it's fun to watch you guys be a part of this show kind of taking off a little bit after a year or so. It's been a lot of fun, and that was a great event yesterday just simply from that very for that very reason.
Yeah. Getting to see a lot of the folks and seeing them come by.
It was very, very cool.
You know, when I said on air that I didn't wear deodorant yesterday, I meant it. Like, I was so foul.
Were you rank?
Well, yeah. And then I went and met my friend for dinner afterwards, and I was like, oh, no. I smell so bad. She's going to be like, good Lord, what do you do?
Well, you had the breeze outside.
Do you work with livestock? Like, you smell so bad. And I got home. My wife was like, my God.
At least you're around people at home and outside of work that you can trust that are going to tell you exactly what they feel and mean.
Yeah, there's no trust me. If I walk in stinking, my wife is going to let me know ASAP. Like, wow, you smell like a wet horse right now. Why do you smell so bad? And it's like, look, I forgot my damn deodorant. It happens. All right, it happens.
So you're one of those people that get functified if you don't. Oh,
I will get foul. I'm a sweater. I sweat.
I'm a sweater, but not a stinker.
Oh, you stink. You just don't know you stink.
But I don't like I play basketball with some guys that granted, you're going to go to the gym. You get out of bed. You don't have to shower before you go to the gym.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. But at the same time, you play with guys, and all of a sudden,
you're,
like,
you're holding Joel.
You're down low, boxing some guy out, and you're like, wow.
I just don't like the incredibly, like, wet T-shirts just drenched in sweat.
Yeah,
and
that's
And he's posting up on me, and I got a forearm on his back. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
The bad one for me, too, is because I wear that wristband. And you put that on someone, like you're guarding them in the low post, and you walk down the other end of the court, and the ball stops. You're like, what is that smell? And you realize, because you put your arm on that guy, and the he smells, like, you. Functified.
Yep.
Now it's on me, and I'm like, oh, my God.
I don't care enough to post up like that, to hold tight.
When you got the no-look, over-the-shoulder hook shot from half court, why would you?
I mean, I was looking.
Oh.
Yeah, don't start adding to the legend.
I made your Sports Center moment a little bit more.
No, don't start adding to
great.
The legend. I'm keeping it real, keeping it honest. I was looking.
So do we still have a good relationship with the manager at 500 Crawford after you sabotaged
her dog?
Her dog?
It's up in the air, Nick. It's kind of like if we talk about... Asian porn stars. I mean,
I'm glad you're enjoying my sausage, sir.
My favorite drop ever. You have the better drops. I can't help it. That's the best drop ever.
I'm glad you're enjoying my sausage. You like that?
I'm glad you're enjoying my sausage, sir.
Now those were
look how excited
Nick did a little editing there, but it was fantastic.
Yeah, that's not exactly how it happened. Let's be honest.
It was in that chronological order that you said those words.
There was some space in between. I didn't just bark at a man eating a sausage. I didn't do that. I have enough class to let him finish his sausage before I'd bark at him.
Oh, that's got to be the best drop.
I was doing it during a break. This lady walked by and I was barking at her dog, and it freaked out and took off running. And they were like, that's the manager. I was like, oh.
First of all, it freaked out and started staring at you like it was like it was wanting to figure out how to get up there.
I mean, yeah, I was staring at the speakers. And then I meowed at it. It was...
I noticed later in the day, Nick, that a larger man who had two probably 100-pound dogs that looked like they could do... Yeah, he wasn't doing any of that
there. Hell no. Well, they're about to get eaten by the Rottweilers. Nice
to the fat lap dog that had its gut scraping on the sidewalk, Barry was all business. But when you're talking about those two big-ass dogs, nope, I'm not going to be making those noises. Not doing any of that.
Well, sometimes with smaller dogs, once you get them started... You kind of can't get them to stop, depending on how well-behaved they
are. Well, this wasn't like a Chihuahua. Those are the worst dogs
on the
planet.
No, this one was like a...
This was like a Corgi.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's not really known to be a yap. Corgi.
Yeah, well, most of them are, aren't they?
I don't know.
I think most of them are fat.
Like dachshunds, too, are the kind of dogs that if you get fat and you're that low to the ground already... Like in Wisconsin, there was a family that had a dachshund that got too fat. And it is actually scraping its junk on the sidewalk. So they had to concoct this, like when they wanted to take
it. It was dragging its balls?
So they did, like, that. What do you call the. Like,
stepping on it? Yeah. Ow!
Like a chastity
his dog
belt.
Buddies are like, what happened? Oh, I stepped on my balls.
So he got so fat that he was dragging his junk on the sidewalk. So they created this, like, it's like this metal.
Like a skateboarder's knee?
Slide sled. It was like you wrapped it around with a Velcro belt, and underneath it was like a piece of metal so that the junk could slide. Slide along on the ground and
you
not scrape on the sidewalk.
A ball sled for your dog?
Yeah.
Hey, it's time to take Fluffers for a walk. Get his ball sled. I don't want him to come back looking like a skateboarder that fell off his skateboard.
And you think about
knuckles
it.
Knuckles all banged up.
People are just like, oh, I see what you did there. You concocted. You're like MacGyver. You concocted this system to keep
the
dog.
They should have got like something with little wheels on it. So you could have just drug him like a little ball
think
trailer.
About it. The metal is scraping off the sidewalk. So it's got to be heating up.
Yeah.
So whether it's scraping or not, you're cooking your own nuts. Or the dog's nuts. I mean,
the kids. All the kids are cooked. Wow. Why wouldn't you get like a little testicle trailer and just put like,
I mean,
just let him drag that around at least, right?
You got a hot weenie by the time you walk the dog around the block. It's like, good thing they live by the ballpark. You're cooking hot dogs.
Hey, the ballpark?
See?
What?
All yeah,
right.
Okay.
I see
there
what you did there. My ex-wife, her dad, they had a, I guess it was a weenie dog. I don't know. But it was so fat that its stomach was almost on the ground. And it couldn't jump on the couch. And I would put it on the couch, and then it couldn't get off. And so it would literally just roll to one
side. I believe that,
because
their stomachs are pretty close to the ground, even when they're not fat. So,
but his balls were not close.
I was trying to find a good...
That's hashtag blessed.
GIF. Yeah. Or Jim Nance would say, Mimi. But
trying to find a good Mimi?
Yeah, I was trying to find a good
thank
Mimi.
Thank you, Jim Nance.
Oh, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you start talking about the dog's too fat. Put him on a diet, too, so maybe you can create some space between the junk and the sidewalk.
Well, just have him fixed, and then you don't have to worry about that.
No, it wasn't the balls. It was the...
It was his penis?
Yeah.
I thought it was his balls. No. I thought you said his balls were the ones that were...
I don't know for sure that certain that he still had them, but I know that
there's no way
his ding-a-ling was dragging on the sidewalk.
First of all, dog penis... It comes in a protective coating. It's got a shield already. It's already...
Dude, if you're fat enough and you're that low to the ground, you're dragging.
How do you know this? There's a protective coating on dogs' penises?
Don't go there,
yeah, it's... You never seen it when the lipstick comes out? That's the actual penis, not the little... The little outer...
Female dog.
The outie belly button looking thing.
That's why
thing.
They call it a dog's penis a lipstick, because the lipstick is actually the tool that does the work.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So it's inside of it. It's like a pouch. It's like a penis pouch for the dog. And then when he sees, he's like,
I would imagine
hey.
That would still hurt, though.
It's like, you know, like, it's almost like a lightsaber, like when Obi-Wan Kenobi's like, uh-oh, and then it comes out. It's kind of like that with a dog. It's hidden until it's time to fight, and then the lipstick comes out.
We literally were calling this dog Sled Dog because it was like a metal sled underneath its Johnson to keep it from scraping on the sidewalk.
Was he black?
No, it was like a wiener. Here's the funniest thing. It was a wiener dog. It was a dachshund.
That is funny.
So it had...
So it was a wiener dog with a huge wiener that drug the ground.
Yep.
That's insane to me. Yep. His whole wee-wee was being drug on the ground.
I had friends that
Well, no wonder they didn't have a little ball trailer. I thought it was his balls that you were talking about.
No.
Well, I thought so, too, only because Barry just went straight to testicles, and he just kept saying that.
Well,
so
I assumed, how is your wiener going to drag the ground?
I missed that part, too.
The only way that happens, you don't have back legs. Now you're just pulling yourself.
No, because these dogs are very
penis.
Low to the ground anyway, and then when you get fat, you start dragging stuff. So it had like a belly and ball or belly and wiener guard sled thing.
Wow.
I guess they called it like a chastity belt or something because it was like the family made fun of it too. But I mean, you're literally.
It was like a medieval knight. Just this metal like breastplate.
And the dad was all pleased because he was like a, you know, like one of those guys that was good in wood shop and all he could fix things with a handyman. He was like, look at this that I concocted. I was like, dude, you don't walk. I mean, we were kids at the time, but we're thinking, you walk that dog and people aren't going to notice that. You got issues.
Like, why
you got
does
a
your
fat dog
why
with
does
a
your
dink that's dropping on the sidewalk?
Why does your dog have a penis shield? What is that about? It's all like I said. It's already in a cover. I don't know. That makes it even weirder now.
Did we?
I
ask
see who
this?
That is. We'll have to do that on the other side.
All right. So
I'm gonna go to break. We'll talk to OU Mike about dogs. I can't wait for his Johnny Weir penis call.
We just spent an entire segment on dog penis. I don't know.
Not an entire segment. It started off okay.
About 70% or 80% of the segment was all on dog penis. I'm just saying.
We bounced
Nick,
around.
What are you, first time listener to the
first
show?
First time listener. Lar.
Are you serious? Of course we talked about dog penis for a segment. It's what we do. Well, I mean, that's not all we do.
Long-time producer, first-time listener.
Yeah.
Can I help you? All right. OU Mike, Captain Coverall.
What do you think?
Hold
on. What do you think the chances are OU Mike has actually touched a dog's penis?
Oh, God. 100%.
100%.
1,000? Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's the guy that...
I wonder if it's soft. Like, he at least touched it just like, you know.
Plus, he's cheap. So, not you know, like instead of taking the anything. Dog to the vet, you know, he does do-it-yourself releasing of the anal gland.
I bet he's touched it at least once, though.
Nick, he does do-it-yourself releasing
Good
of the anal
Good for him,
glands.
Because I'm certainly not going to even try
Moon
to even
River.
Think about doing something like that.
Goodness. All right. OU Mike, if he doesn't get stage fright, up next. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. First hour, big show. It is Barry, it is Nick, it is Joel. It is ESPN 97.5. Plenty to talk about, kick around. We talked a little Astros. We talked about the banner botch. We talked about Nova. And we talked a little bit about dogs.
I was going to say a bunch of stuff, but I'm not. I'm gonna.
Well, you're funny. You should.
No, I'm
no?
not. I'm gonna
leave
keep
it to
it.
OU Mike.
Yeah, let's just
Now you're putting funny kind of in a compromising position.
Yeah, how dare you?
He has his moments.
Well, then how bring him dare in, Nick. You.
All right, OU Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, yeah, I was talking about dogs. I think a kangaroo's got his own pouch, too, and it's called a Joel in there or something like that. I don't know what it is. I think it's a Joel.
It's a Joey, Mike. It's a Joey.
Where was the
hang-up?
You got
more, Mike? Or are you didn't run today?
Oh, he must have been calling from
there.
There
it is.
He must have been calling from prison. They didn't hang up the same. He must have. He done got a new carrier out in the trailer.
No, he got the cord caught in the coveralls. He couldn't hang up fast enough.
We didn't get the little laser hang up,
which is normally a staple.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was the butt today. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah. I like that you were very serious about. It's called a joke.
It was intentional, Barry. It was intentional.
Were you trying to ruin his joke? Like,
it was just,
yeah,
it was like just like, boy, that wasn't funny. Let me give you the technical term for a young kangaroo. Yes. It's a Joey.
Oh, my goodness, you guys.
As opposed to Richard being called it. Never mind.
This article freaks me out. I was looking at a website called Coed. You ever been to Coed? Check
can't
out
say
Coed.
That I have, but Nick, you're single.
Sounds like a porn.
You're a little bit.
No, just because the word coed, you can't immediately, just because that's a category on Pornhub. Doesn't mean that anytime you use the word
it would make sense.
No, so co-ed softball is just porn softball. I would watch it, but I'm just saying that's not a thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
But if you were to Google co-ed right now, what would pop up?
I don't know. Let's look. Co-ed. Oh, it took me to the website. I just need to do co-ed. Sorry, my bad. Co-ed. First thing is the Wiktionary. Yeah. It's no... There's nothing on the first page about porn.
How come on my Google, it's like the
because it's using your history. Down. It's probably just using your search history.
Hey, I'm using the work computer right now.
Oh, are you? Well, that explains it. Think about some of these nasty producers that get in there.
All right, where's the wipes?
Anyways, yeah. Anyways, on their website, they had this story about a Houston man on life support after being shot in head during Facebook Live video. So they make it sound like he was all, hey, what's up, everybody? It's Bobby, and I'm on Facebook. Pow! And then he just got shot. Well, they were playing with the guns, apparently.
Oh, yeah. You didn't see the video?
No, I didn't watch it. Is it pretty gruesome?
I didn't want to take it till the bitter end. And even on the news stations, they had it. But literally, there are three people, including the female, talking in like a car.
Yeah.
I honestly thought you guys were kidding. No, this really happened. No,
Devin Holmes, a 26-year-old father of two, is now on life support after he was shot during a Facebook Live video. Reports indicate that Holmes was in a car with another man and woman over the weekend when he was accidentally shot in the head. The report from Click2 Houston said, Houston police say three people were inside while the man identified by friends as Devin Holmes and a woman were playing with two handguns. The gun fired, hitting Holmes in the head. A video that was posted originally on Facebook and then on Instagram showed what happened. The woman was, she's brought up on charges because she tried to wipe off the gunshot residue. Friends confirmed that Holmes is seen on the video wearing a white shirt and talking with a woman and another man in the car. A few seconds later, the woman is seen pointing a gun at the camera and waving it around. You're making me nervous. Holmes is heard.
Yeah.
Saying, if it ain't got no clip, bud. Oh, it ain't got no clip, bud. The other man is heard saying a second later, the gun fired. Holmes slumped over. And you can see blood on his shirt.
He literally was saying,
it's crazy.
Like, trying to stop her going, okay, that's not funny. Don't do that. You gave the exact quote, but you can see him. He's uneasy about the situation. And then it's like, oh, I mean, the worst possible thing happens. And you're like, oh,
see, this
God.
Is the problem when people that don't understand guns, just because it doesn't have a clip doesn't mean that it can't have a bullet in the chamber.
Right.
Like, how dumb are you?
Just don't play with guns like that. I mean, yeah. Go to a shooting range. If you have a gun for protection and you want to practice, go to a shooting range. There's plenty of them. I've been to quite a bit. There's one not too far away from my house. There's safe places to do it. I can't believe people would even play with that.
That's like that one chick that was shooting that gun out the window. Remember that on Snapchat?
She got caught. She's doing like hard time now.
Stupid ass. She got what she deserved.
Or the two kids. One shot the girl shot the boyfriend with the book in his hand or whatever.
Yeah.
And the bullet went through.
When I was a kid, man, one of my really good friends, his brother was killed. They were playing Russian roulette. It's like that's just dumb. Why? There's no reason to do that.
There really isn't.
Which, by the way, reminds me of the dumbest story I've ever heard involving guns was in Russia. I don't know where these guys were, but they had bulletproof vests and they wanted to see if it worked. So one guy shot the other guy in the bulletproof vest and killed him. It was like, well, yeah, dumbass. Like, you think
That just happened in the Heights recently at a party.
No.
In the Heights at a party, someone had a bulletproof vest, and the guy decided to check it and test it.
That's stupid.
And ended up shooting the guy. I think it was in the Heights. It was on the news in the last month or so.
That's really crazy to me.
I mean, it's amazing. Obviously, everybody was drinking, but it's just stupid.
But the fact that this is happening this frequently is just absolutely crazy to me. I can't believe people are just dying for no reason.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. And again, if your boredom takes you to that level to play Russian roulette or to try stupid stuff like that, find another hobby. But don't do stupid, you know. And then, like in this case, you want what? Social media stardom?
Yeah, I don't get it. It's just too dangerous, man.
I'll gladly admit I'm kind of a chicken, but even when I was doing it at the shooting range, I was terrified because there's people next to you to the right, to the left of you, especially if you go to like an outdoor one.
Right.
Yeah.
People, you don't know if that guy's turning that gun towards you.
Go
or,
crazy.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that would happen to, what was his name? The American Sniper guy?
Is that what happened?
Chris.
Yeah. Isn't that what happened?
No, the guy did it. The guy did it intentionally.
I know, yeah, but I'm saying he was working with a gentleman who had PTSD, and that guy shot him.
Kirk? Chris Kirk, is that right?
No, I'll tell you. I can't believe where'd it go? Chris Kyle, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Chris Kyle. Yeah, he decided, you know, he was trying to do a lot of volunteer work to help guys that were struggling with PTSD, and took a guy to the range, and the guy just decided to point the gun at him.
Man, that's
the most highly respected and decorated sniper of all time, isn't he?
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think he had the most confirmed kills. Yep. Don't get me lying. I'm sure we'll be corrected, but yeah, apparently he had the. I'm sure it's all on his wiki page.
Yeah,
but let's see.
Crazy, crazy stuff, though, man. I mean, again, find something else to do. But the other thing is, you know, there's enough craziness going on in
Here
this
you
world where you're just minding your business that you don't put yourself in an environment like that, and then all of a sudden people are going to turn on you.
Yeah,
or
he
mistakes
said,
happen.
The Navy credits me with more kills as a sniper than any other American service member, past or present. I guess that's true. They go back and forth on what the number is. One week it's 160. Then it's way higher. Then it's somewhere in between. If you want a number, ask the Navy. You may even get the truth if you catch them on the right day. So it's obviously something he wasn't keeping track of necessarily.
I guess you get numb to that after a while. But at some point, there's got to be some dark hours where you start reflecting back on how many guys' lives you put to bed.
But, I mean, if that's your job.
No, I get it.
I don't know that
but
would.
Still, from a psychological perspective, you still have, you know, the human element to some degree.
I think everybody has a different conscience. I think some people would actually absolutely kill them. And he's just serving, or she's just serving the country, and then he goes back home, or she goes back home, and feels absolutely bad. And some of them just, nope.
I imagine. My job. I mean, there's a certain mindset you have to be a soldier in general, because you're at that point, even a gun owner, but a soldier specifically, at that point, you know your job is to potentially have to kill somebody else to protect your country, to protect the freedoms in this country. So, I mean, you have to have some sort of mindset going into that. But then when you become a sniper, then you know that's a primary role is to, you know, shoot people. So
know,
that's a mindset you got to get into.
Absolutely. But I think it's something, like I'm saying, but sometimes when you're just at the house, or you're laying in bed, or you're all by yourself, it's still got to, like, you're a human being. It's got to cross your mind.
You think, I don't know, because I mean, I can't speak for anybody else. For me, I think I would rationalize that as if I didn't kill that guy, he was potentially going to kill my fellow soldiers, Americans, innocent people in that country.
Now, that may be the case in a lot of the situations. There had to be some of them, too, where you don't know. You're taking care of a certain area that is a target area where you know that there's potential danger, and then you don't know.
I tend to agree with Joel only because you've heard of them going to like therapy sessions.
Right.
And they're like, man, I went to go serve my country, and I came back, and I wondered why I was over there. Like, yeah. I'm sure a lot of soldiers felt like that.
That could be true.
In Iraq, some people felt like they were supposed to be
for
there.
Sure. And don't set it up with prerequisites. You should agree with me all the time.
No, don't do that. Good Lord, this show will be horrible.
Oh, boy. Well, with that being said, look at the time. Where does it go? We've already got
That's
1 hour
in.
Done with the big show. Want to remind everybody, by the way, in case you don't have plans for tomorrow night, Tastemakers is April the 4th, Silver Street Studios. Amazing cuisine from Houston's top restaurants. Open bar, just to have your way with top restaurants. top drinks, top shelf. Don't mind if you do. Tickets on sale now for $55, but you got to get them in advance. Otherwise, at the door, they're $65, and those ticket prices include complimentary valet parking, which you, it's a good thing to have at Silver Street Studios. Let me just tell you that. So check it all out. CultureMap.com/tastemakers. Get your tickets now while they last. Sales are going well, but they will be available at the door. $65 at the door, $55 on Culture Map. Check them out.
ESPN 97.5.